morning. It is Friday. Help me out here, 5th of September?
4th.
Yes?
4th.
I should know that because it's 2 days before my birthday. Hint, hint. My birthday.
Sorry, dude.
I was going to say my bank had.
Visit the site and leave a comment. No,
don't leave a comment. Do visit the site, don't leave a comment. Well, I suppose you can if you really want to, but whatever. I can give you my bank balance. Not bank balance, bank account number. If you want, I'll give you my bank balance if you want to as well. But I hope you are having a great day so far, even though it is in the morning. At least it is Friday. It is almost weekend. You just need to get another eight, seven hours of work, and then it's off to the races.
Since Charlie, don't depress people.
Hi, Mom. I'm on a podcast, TV. You don't listen to podcasts, never mind.
Yeah. No,
my mom still listens to the wireless, so definitely not listening to podcasts.
What's the wireless?
Hi, Mrs. Martos. The wireless.
Really?
Okay, no way. So, for the benefit of the listeners,
is this my age? A little bit, yes.
Clinton, you really don't know what a wireless is. You've never heard the term listening to something over the wireless before.
What, like a CB?
No. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Back up this bus a little bit.
Derailed right at the beginning. We didn't even leave the station.
Yeah, I keep on saying that we need a soundboard because right now I would either put in the sound of a train going choo-choo because this is just going way over Clinton's head, or the sound of an accident as his brain is trying to figure out what the heck we are talking about.
What is a wireless?
Have your parents never said anything about listening to anything on the wireless?
They've talked about using like a CB radio when they used to have handles and stuff like that. Yeah,
you're on the right track.
Okay.
It's not a CB, but it is a radio. It's the olden day term for
it's
radio.
What old people refer to as radios.
No, I've never. I used to spend a lot of time at an old age home because my grandmother was in, and none of them ever used the term the wireless. But I did tell my gran when she's still alive that I was going to go see a movie after visiting her. And she's like, oh, what's showing at the bioscope?
At the bioscope. So, there we go.
Also up there.
Yes?
And about 5 years ago, my dad went to a movie for the first time in about a decade for him. So I said to him, Dad, let's get popcorn before we go in. And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. We'll get during the interval. So yeah.
Yeah, there's no more intervals. Funnily enough, one of Joburg's oldest cinemas, I suppose if you want to call it that, was it in Cape Town? I can't remember. But it's called the Bioscope. And they still show movies on projector reels, if I remember correctly. If you don't, please do let me know. But it's really interesting. But it's a good thing that you mentioned movies now.
Yes.
Because that kind of like segway.
Segway.
Did I say segway? It's a new term. It's when you do something really quickly on two wheels, okay?
No, that's just a parapraxis that you inserted the word for intercourse into a segue.
Anyways,
moving right along.
This neatly slides that thing that you ride on with two wheels into the next conversation.
Yes.
And that will be that you went to go and see the movie for Hitman. Yes.
Yes.
The Hitman movie.
Yes.
This is why my brain doesn't operate early on a Friday morning.
Okay.
Because I'm stumbling over my words. But anyways, so Clinton.
Yes.
Tell us what the movie was like.
Okay, so the movie is called Hitman Agent 47. It's coming out today, actually. Today is the you could watch it right now if you play hockey from work or school or whatever.
Listen to the podcast. Go see the movie.
Yes. You need to hear our thoughts first. Don't listen to our podcast and then go watch the movie because the movie is terrible.
Oh.
So if you don't know, Hitman is actually a video game franchise. Have you guys played Hitman before?
Yeah, the last one I played was Absolution, right?
Yeah, that is the last one.
Yeah, that's the last one, yeah.
So the reason I'm saying that is because I've never played a Hitman game, and myself and my editor Nick, we went to go see it because he's played lots of the Hitman games, and our plan was we were both going to see it and we were each going to write a review and do a double review. But when we came out of the movie, we both agreed quite handily that that was a very terrible movie. So he wrote it.
And did you see the other Hitman movie that came out in like 2007?
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah,
he's got a cool name. No, I hadn't seen that one either. So that's why I went, because I had a blank slate and I could just go watch the movie for the movie that I was seeing.
So wait, judged even on its merits as just an action movie, it was still crap?
Yes, judged... judged on the merits of using your eyes to view something, it was terrible.
Yeah, so you went to go and see it on a blank slate.
Yeah.
Honest, I'd be curious to see it because, A, I've played the Hitman games, thoroughly enjoyed them, and B, watched the preview a few weeks ago, and the preview made it look incredible. But I mean, I know there's a lot of effort that goes into trailers these days, sometimes more so than the actual
movie. That is exactly the thing that I wanted to say, is how many times have we seen a movie where you watch the trailer and it looks absolutely amazing? The first one that I can think of, and a lot of people will probably disagree, was Mad Max. Because to me, the entire movie was a two-hour car chase to point A, back to point B, and then back to point A again. And from the trailers, it looked really good. It looked really good. But the best parts were the ones that were shown in the trailer.
Charlie's a heathen. Mad Max is a brilliant movie.
Clinton, have you seen the previous Mad Max films?
Yes, I've seen all of them.
Wow, you actually have. Mad Max aside, we've seen that many times where the trailer is actually the best part.
The best example I can think of was Iron Man 3. When I saw that trailer, I was really excited for that movie. And then I saw it. And while I still think Iron Man 3 is a good movie, it's not as good as the trailer made it out to be, which I suppose that's the point. Trailers are basically adverts. So,
well, let me put you on the spot here. Just to give people a benchmark as to where your tastes are. Give an example of a movie that you really loved that you haven't spoken about yet and a movie that you really hated so that people can kind of see where you come from.
How recent?
Take your pick, anything.
What's your favorite movie in the world?
I'll talk about... No, let me do it this way. I'll talk about the last two movies I reviewed for the site because there's already two polar things there. The new Fantastic Four movie was terrible. Paper Towns has a really terrible premise. It looks like angsty teen drama, but it was really nice because it was just a nice little story. Kung Fury?
Yes.
That was a brilliant movie. It was a lot of fun for 40 minutes, however long it was. You know, I love movies as art and thought-provoking stuff and everything, but it's really nice to go sit down in a movie and to have fun for an hour and a half, and Hitman didn't do any of that. It wasn't art. It wasn't thought-provoking. It wasn't exciting to watch. It was not fun.
But what was wrong with it? Was the acting bad? Was the cinematography bad? Were the lighting, was that bad? The soundtrack didn't hit the right notes?
It was boring. It was sound and fury signifying nothing. The plot makes no sense. The plot is, if you don't know, in the movie, in the mythos of the Hitman universe, there was a government program which created these people called agents who are genetically modified to be assassins. And the movie starts off where the main scientist who started the agent program is on the run, and he's been gone for 20-something years, and his daughter, for some or another reason, is looking for him. And she's chased down by Hitman and the Syndicate, which is the big evil corporation.
Mm.
Now, the first thing that doesn't make sense is the daughter's looking for her father, but she doesn't know it's her father. For some reason, she's just looking for a man, and it's never explained why.
Okay.
Exactly. You guys are looking at me like I'm leaving out a part of the story.
Yeah, I'm like waiting for the punchline here.
No, she's just, the first time you see her is in a scene where she's in a record keeping, I can't remember the name of the building, but it's where all town records are called, and she's looking for
archives?
A man.
Yeah, like the archives.
Yeah, the archives. And she's like, oh, he's this height and this age, and she knows all these things about him, but she doesn't know her father, and she doesn't, it's never explained why she starts looking for him in the first place. What?
Okay. Well, okay. I can't,
if a movie leaves you doing that, it can't be worth watching.
I was going to say, I kind of get the gist of it, but everything, games, music, movies, whatever, has a good point. Does the movie have any redeeming qualities to it?
Probably Zachary Quinto. So, you see, I can't really say what his character is because we'll give it away. Zachary Quinto is a character in it, and... he's very good in it. He starts off, he looks like a good guy, and he plays a good guy, and then he becomes a bad guy, even though you'll see it 10 miles away. It's not a spoiler. It's really not. In the trailers, it also shows he's a bad guy. But a part of his performance is kind of funny because, again, this isn't a spoiler, it's in the trailers. He's genetically modified as well, and he is basically bulletproof.
Right, okay, so, which is really handy when you go up against a hitman.
Every scene,
or if you're just driving in Joburg traffic.
And every scene he pops up, you think, well, what's going to happen now? And he is in about 5 different car crashes in the space of 30 minutes. And Nick and I were sitting there watching it, and in the last car crash he was in, Nick started laughing like a madman. And everyone started looking at us like we had done something or seen something they hadn't seen. Because he's in an accident and the car flips, and if any normal human being was in it, they would have been killed in 9 different lives. And then Zachary Quinto just steps out and his clothes are all fine and he's like, angry.
All right. We're not going to bash the movie
anymore
down the road.
The full review's on the site. Nick wrote it. Nick has a background with Hitman, so he knows what he's talking about. So my view, as somebody who went in there with a clean slate, more than willing to give it a chance. Don't go watch it. Nick says the same. And another thing, talking about their trailers, last thing, sorry, I know you want to go on. They flip and reuse the famous line from Watchmen. You're not locked in here with... I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. They steal it.
Gosh. Okay. Well, okay. So... go watch that at your own peril. Currently, the movie is sitting at 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb, and it has a Metacritic score of 29 out of 100.
That is very generous.
Which is not great, but anyways, yeah, go see it. It stars, go see it if you want to. It stars Rupert Friend as well, he's the main character. I would hope he's in the movie.
Don't know why people name their children Rupert, but anyway.
Rupert, but isn't there a short for like Rupert? And don't say like Rupee or Purdy.
I don't know.
For some reason, I feel like one of those sales people is like, I can feel the name coming to me, but I just can't think of it.
Don't think Google.
Yeah, but we're doing a live show, Dion, so I can't really, and I should know these things. We're not connected here. Which, by the way, Clinton has internet access now in the podcast
room. Yes, I've earned it. That's a joke from like the first podcast I was on.
Yeah.
You need to be a dedicated fan for that anyway.
You got your stripes with that one. Mm. But moving on to things that Dion really liked. Yes. This is something that Dion really liked.
Well, let's put it this way. I started out really liking it, and then I really started to hate it. But we'll get into that.
But now you like it again.
But now I like it again, yeah. it's one of those things.
Yeah, it's like having a girlfriend. Like you like her, then you don't like her, then you like her, then you don't like her, and then eventually you just go, screw it, I think I like you.
Yeah, something like it. Anyway.
We are talking about...
Until Dawn.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a new game, came out for the PlayStation 4 a couple of weeks ago. It's a PlayStation 4 exclusive as well. And it's one of these games where it tries to tell a story and give you control over the characters, let you make decisions along the way that then affect the plot. This has been tried in games like Heavy Rain before to some degree of success. Heavy Rain wasn't too bad. But this game it's given me the best example of a game that you actually do have genuine control over that affects the plot in small little ways that have sort of butterfly effects further down into the plot. I mean, it's actually one of the mechanisms of the game, something called the butterfly effect. So every time you do something, you see this little butterfly effect icon appear in the top left-hand corner of the screen, and you know then that decision you've made is going to have consequences down the line. It's a horror game, so you start off with 8 people who end up in this remote cabin in the woods, and you've got to guide them through the night. You've got to go from 9 o'clock the night before to dawn, hence the name Until Dawn.
I just want to jump in here quickly for the people that think that they might be listening to an old podcast again.
Oh, sorry.
We have spoken about Until Dawn before, but that was when you went to go and play it under controlled circumstances at Sturkinikov's office. But now you have played the game on your own time at your house.
Correct.
And you have the full experience.
I have that.
And go.
So those 3 hours that I got shown sort of introduced the mechanics to me, showed me how scary it was, and boy, is it scary. But the point of the game like this is that because you can make so many different decisions at different points in the game, the point is going to be to go back to certain points, replay certain chapters, make decisions, and then play out those effects throughout the rest of the game. So, which means my original playthrough, in which I only managed to save 3 people, I should in theory be able to go back, replay certain chapters, change certain decisions, and then save either more or less or whatever.
3 people out of how many?
8.
Okay.
But But what happened?
So this past weekend, I went back to see if I could do exactly that. So I start off on chapter 5 of 10, and I go through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. I get all the way to the end of chapter 8, and now I've made quite dramatic decisions that have genuinely dramatically affected the plotline. And I get to the end of chapter 8, and I make one wrong decision that I think, bugger, let me actually restart this chapter and sort of go through it again so that I can make this decision the right way this time. Thinking to myself, okay, so I've played 5, 6, and 7. If I go back to the beginning of 8, the decisions I made in those chapters are going to be the decisions I'm going to be play with. To my disgust, I found out that restarting a chapter, even though I've played subsequent ones before then again, the decisions that the game remembered was from my original playthrough. So I'd effectively wasted my bloody time going 5, 6, and 7, and all the way through 8, and not having those decisions actually sticking, which is really frustrating since the game is designed to be replayed.
Yeah. I was going to say that kind of sounds really stupid on their part.
Absolutely.
Because obviously they did a huge hook of the game is the butterfly effect and your decisions, but why do they give you the option to replay chapters then? If they wanted it to work like that, they shouldn't have given you the option to replay chapters. And if you start a chapter, won't the people that have died beforehand not be there anymore? Or do they give you a clean slate every time you start a new chapter?
Well, no, it's worse than that. It's when you when I restarted a chapter, the decisions I'd made before in my original playthrough, those ones were saved. Those were you know, if I started chapter 8, it's as if I had played my original playthrough up to that point, as opposed to taking into account the decisions I made in 5, 6, and 7 when I replayed, which was really damn frustrating. Stupid.
There was a game a while back, forgive me because I can't remember what it was called, but it had a chapter-based system as well. But if you played, let's say, up until chapter 8 and you reloaded the game back to like chapter 6 or 7, it would actually say on the screen, warning, decisions that you have made will be nullified because you are going back. So you can't play up until chapter 8, decide you want to play chapter 5, and then carry on with chapter 9 again.
There was no such warning like that.
It actually warns you that you cannot, if you start, go back to chapter 5, everything that you've done in between 6, 7, and 8 is going to be wiped.
You would assume so.
Yeah. But anyway.
So look, that was very frustrating. But that being said, I really did enjoy the fact that I could make decisions that would have good repercussions and that would play out in sort of natural ways, really giving you like a completely different experience depending on how many people you save in the game. So highly recommend it. I just hope they patch out that frustration.
So I've heard from people that it plays a lot like a stereotypical bad like horror movie. Flick. Yeah, like a teen slasher. That's, and it falls into all the tropes, but on purpose.
Yes, it does. It's very self-aware, sort of a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
That's good.
But it also does try to turn some of those tropes on their heads.
Somebody explained to me, they said, if Cabin in the Woods had a game, it would be this.
It would be very similar to this, yeah. So look, if you enjoy horror at all, you've got a significant other who enjoys horror, and you've got a PlayStation 4, I do highly recommend this. At least for your first playthrough is going to be amazing. It's just going back and changing things is a little bit tricky at the moment.
Moving on, we've had the bad with Hitman Agent 47. We've had the good with Until Dawn. Well, with the way the dollar is going, I was going to say a dollar, but no, a rand. For whoever can guess what the next topic will be, which falls smack bang in the middle of good and bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this is the ugly, but no.
No, this is not the
ugly. You've ruined the trifecta.
I'm sorry.
No, the trifecta of the movie name.
Something that some people found good, something that some people found bad, and then eventually we came down to the consensus that it's actually not that such a bad thing, is Google's new logo.
Yes.
Well, Dion would call this the ugly, wouldn't he?
I would. When I first saw it, yes, I would absolutely call it the ugly. If you don't know, Google has changed its logo. If you want to check it out, go to google.com and have a look. But yes, they have changed their logo.
Sorry,
and we weren't all that keen on it initially.
If you're thinking it's just a simple logo change, it's more of a big rebranding for Google. Don't think about it. We're not just going to spend your precious time talking about a quick logo change, even though Google's one of the biggest companies in the world. But Google's going through a whole rebranding and restructuring. If you don't know, on the site, again, we have a story about this. They now have a new parent company called Alphabet, and Google will now handle web stuff, and Alphabet will handle all the other stuff Google does, like self-driving cars and robots and all of that. So, yeah, we're talking specifically about the logo now, but we are going to talk a little bit about the rebranding later on.
Yeah, because I initially thought it wasn't that bad. I thought let me just start with this. My initial reaction was that it wasn't too bad, but I did feel that it was slightly childish, simply for the reason that when you go into google.com, it had a little child's hand, or what looked like a child's hand, come up and erase the original Google logo and then like kind of write it in crayon over it. And I was like, I don't know. Dion, you hated it straight out from the bat.
I honestly took one look at it and thought, what in hell are they doing?
Yeah.
In the subsequent days, the more I've looked at it, the more it's kind of grown on me, I must admit. I am not that fond, however, of the new G that has replaced the old lowercase G that signifies my bookmark
You are talking about the little Chrome icon in the tabs when you open a new tab. Yes, it's the little... Yes.
The multicolored G on it.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
That's the thing that bothers me the most is when I open a new tab now with... any Google page, it looks like I am on, what did I call it the other day? It looks like I'm on...
You say Groupon.
No.
It looks
like you are on a cheap online store.
It looks like you're on a Kinder Price, what's it called, toy.
Fisher Price.
And you know, Fisher Price, I don't know why I said Kinder. And my problem also is they've got tiny little logos and they're trying to fit all the colors of the Google logo into it. Like if you load up Google, you'll see the little icon that signifies a microphone and you can click it and it will hear your voice. And it looks ugly because it's such a small icon and there's like four different colors in it. And it just,
Look,
they're trying to do too much.
Overall, you know, it's the sixth time that they've changed the logo. It's probably going to stick for a couple of years. It looks, the more you look at it, it's clean. There's no denying it.
Yeah, definitely very clean.
It's very flat art style that very Windows 10 is doing right now.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, they are a company and they're not a circus by any stretch of the imagination, because they definitely know what they are doing. It, like all things, it's going to grow on people. But one thing that we hope will grow on you is this podcast.
Yay! And not in like a fungus way, like a loving way. That's a...
Have you ever tried to get rid of a fungus? You'll know how damn difficult it is to get rid of those suckers.
So you want us to be like a fungus?
Fortunately not.
If we stick in your radio or in your player or in your wireless, hey, I'm going to take it. If you listen to us every week, I'm going to take it. But that is unfortunately all the time that we have for today. You can catch us every week, same place. You know where to find us.
On Friday, definitely not Thursday afternoons.
No, definitely not on Thursday afternoons in the podcast studio. Yes, at htxt.com.
.co.za.
Which is also the other website that you can go to.
They lead to the same place.
Gosh, speaking of google.com and looking at the webpage, htxt.co.za, which is obviously where you got the podcast from. Otherwise, you probably got it from iTunes. But, Dion, thank you very much.
Sure, anytime.
And Clinton.
Hello and goodbye.
Hello and goodbye. And thank you so much from me, Charlie Fripp, who has been your host for the previous 25 minutes. See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.